fine weather expected through the rest of the week. This is meteorologist Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 75 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
And not down again. That was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here's college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
And welcome into this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys had a great weekend, ready for a fun week here on the show. We are in the dog days of summer, Chase. Officially, they have started, man. Football is pretty much, I mean, we had the draft. We had pro day a little bit before that. We had spring ball. We were rolling. But now it's kind of that one small period of the year, Chase, where there's not any real true football action going on. However, we still got some stuff that we're going to pull out of it, Chase. We're going, listen, you got the UFL. I don't know how much you guys have been keeping up with the UFL, but that league is still currently playing. There's been some good games. Listen, the Birmingham Stallions, I know some of you guys keep up with the Stallions. They got themselves another win. I watched like the second half of that game, ended up being really close. It was one of those like last second deals to get the victory. But shout out to AJ McCarron, head coach there. Listen, here's the thing, Chase. I don't know if you heard about the news, but they traded like one of their best defensive linemen, something like that, for a quarterback. And a lot of people were a little upset with the with his decision to do that. And people were trying to figure out kind of, hey, what are you doing, man? And I'll just say this. I want to say they've won like two of the last three games that they've played since that's happened, maybe. I don't know. But I will say that it's definitely been some interesting football every time I've turned on the UFL. It's been some pretty entertaining stuff. So maybe we can dive into a little bit of that at some point. And I will mention NFL, right, Chase? The rookies, a lot of rookie mini camps have been going on. I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with some of that, but kind of cool to see some of these guys, these new fresh faces in the league, getting their opportunities, putting on their new threads, going through some drills and whatnot. So maybe we can discuss a little bit of that, but we got plenty to dive into during the dog days of summer. And of course, there's other sports, right? Football is not the only sport out there. Chase is a famous reporter now for softball. Over the weekend, you had the SEC softball tournament, and that was going on. Alabama softball doing some really big things. We need to reach out and get Coach Murphy here on the show, a good friend of ours. And Chase, I stumbled upon your work, man. Like, I kid you not, I was just on X, and I was just scrolling, seeing kind of what the word was for the weekend. And I see a tweet from Chase Brownfield. And I'm like, hold on, wait. Chase has like 300 favorites on this tweet. Chase, I click on your profile. All your tweets about softball are going viral. So shout out to our guy Chase, who not only is a producer behind the glass, but he also covers a number of sports, but he's really been locked in with softball and is paying off. So if you guys are big softball fans, make sure you guys go follow Chase and check out all his work. Matter of fact, Chase, I got your X account pulled up here. It's at CB3864, and you can follow him on X. I know he also does some stuff on TikTok as well. But, man, Chase, you're doing a heck of a job, man. So, number one, man, shout out to you. Keep covering softball and everything that you're doing. You're doing a phenomenal job. But I was just telling you before, man, looks like you found your niche, man. You might be a key softball contributor before you know it. I mean, everything you're doing is blowing up, man. What's the secret sauce, man? I need to figure it out. Like, how did you're going viral here, man.
Thank you, Christian. It's always a pleasure to hear from you, brother. I don't know. I just seeing Alabama play, especially like the SEC, how challenging it is. I found a love for it. You know, they love to play softball. Every player I've interviewed, Coach Murphy, the assistant coaches, even the fans I've met at the home games, they live, breathe softball. And mm-hmm. I realized that a lot of people don't know that. If you're covering like football or baseball, you don't see that with softball. But I think it's a really, really cool sport to cover. And what the ladies do on the field, man, it's magical, really. And what they're doing, even though they did lose to Texas, you know, every Alabama fan should be proud of them, really. They're hosting their regional. I'm so proud of the ladies for what they're doing. I believe they play this weekend. And then if they win there, they host Friday. Their own. Correct. They host their own Super Regional if they get past that. But yeah, I think that might go into that. And obviously, I'll be doing football and other sports, but I really enjoy softball. Like, we were watching, we hung out over the weekend, but I just love it. I didn't realize I had that love for it. Because if you would have asked me for years, I'd be like, like, I'll tune in, you know, I'll see what's going on. But it's like, I keep with every player. I look at the stats, you know, I'm really in tune with what they do. And even other teams that are doing, like Oklahoma, and I believe Nebraska is going to be a good team this year. So it's an exciting, exciting year for softball, I will say.
It is. And I'm going to, when we come back, I'm going to have you give us a little recap of what went on over the weekend. I know you've been keeping up with that. And like you mentioned, we hung out a little bit. I had Chase come watch Backlash. We watched some wrestling. As you guys know, we're big wrestling fans here on the show. So we did enjoy Backlash this weekend. Now, I felt bad because I should have rolled out the red carpet for my guy Chase, because, you know, WrestleMania, you know, he missed out on some of that good old food I threw on that Traeger now. So I should have, you know, it was a little bit last minute, but I should have rolled it out for him. But I told Chase, man, next time I got the Rotel dip at least ready for him, and we'll have to pull out the Traeger again. I ran out of some pellets, so we didn't really have a choice. But I got you covered, Chase. I got you covered. But Backlash was cool. Then, of course, the SEC softball tournament going on. You mentioned, unfortunately, falling short to Texas in that championship game. We had it, you know, on the monitor over here while we were watching wrestling. Hated to see that. I felt bad for the girls, because like you mentioned, man, they've been doing some great stuff. And you can just tell, I mean, and I know all coaches say, like, you know, this is, you know, one of our best teams. And they're not going to say, oh, this is my favorite team. But I don't know, man. I feel like you can kind of, when you listen to Coach Murphy talk about this group, you can sense just how proud he is. They just have a really good group, like you mentioned, man. They're passionate. And I don't know, something feels a little bit different this year. So I hated to see them come up short. Not for me as a fan, just because I wanted them to be able to, you know, have that feeling of being crowned SEC champions. Didn't happen. However, Chase, they did earn the number one overall seed in the NCAA tournament, which is awesome, right? And you mentioned that Friday they will play USC Upstate, which is my neck of the woods. Granted, a couple hours from where I'm from, but still, that's a South Carolina school, so that's really cool. They'll be here Friday. And definitely looking forward to that. Chase will be covering it, like he mentioned, so make sure you keep up to date with all that stuff. At CB3864 is where you can find Chase on X, and of course his TikTok as well. So we'll talk a little bit of softball today, but of course we're always going to weave in some football. That's our bread and butter here on the show. Over the weekend, they're actually going back to Friday. Let me start by saying this. Chase, I saw this. I don't know if you saw this, and we can talk a little bit about it. I don't know the details completely in terms of where this could lead. And I know we've been talking about the 2014 playoff expansion. We beat that dead horse into the ground last week. There's still going to be stuff to come out of it, I'm sure. But I did see Ross Dellinger, who, again, he's, you know, prominent in the college athletics world, especially when it comes to all the changes being made. He's like the number one source that I rely on. Well, he had put out a tweet, Chase, that says the college sports presidential committees have produced a draft of preliminary ideas. So these are just ideas. Okay, they're getting they're brainstorming, right? They're sitting around a round table trying to figure out how they can, you know, make some changes to college athletics, hopefully making it better. I don't know if we can trust them on that, just given how the past few years have gone. But this includes establishing a new governing entity, a strict cap circumvention. Here we go. We got our big words pulled out this Monday. A G6 playoff. They might have been listening to the Miller's Edge, Chase. We've been talking about this. Maybe having a separate playoff for some of those teams. We just talked about it. My dad was on the show. He was letting it rip on Friday. He was off the chain, of course. But we talked about that, right? You know, the JMUs, the Tulanes. No disrespect, man. Again, my neighbor, he played at Tulane. Hey, listen, shout out to Tulane. But it's just a little bit different league when you're talking about competitive play in the postseason. We see how this thing goes. So it sounds like they've been tuned into the Miller's Edge. I don't blame them. Hey, we got some good stuff cooking right here. Regionalizing Olympic sports, capping coach and AD salaries, Chase. That one kind of caught my attention. That one's interesting, because people have had some comments recently with, you know, there's comments about, well, players getting paid this, and people have all types of things to say about that. But then you see these coaches year in and year out, these salaries are just continuing to rise, which, you know, in the NFL, I don't think there's any type of coaching cap. I mean, again, I don't think it's necessarily necessary, but it is a conversation to be had, I suppose. People have mentioned it. It's coming up, which is kind of interesting, because this is coming from a college sports presidential committee, which I would assume probably features some coaches or former coaches. I don't know. And then it also goes on to talk about eligibility and transfer standards and pulling TV rights. So it looks like they're basically looking at everything here. But I saw that tweet, and there's a lot more details when you click on the photos, but I wanted to throw that out there. I don't know if you guys had seen this or saw some of the ideas. Again, that's what these are. These are just ideas that they're coming up with. But it sounds like they're exploring a number of options. So, again, college athletics in whole, as a whole are continuously changing and could be changing even sooner. So we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling. But I just wanted to throw some of those things at you. Plus, people are coming up with some interesting games, right? You know, dog days of summer, it's the off season. It's a time where you start throwing stuff on the wall and seeing if it sticks. Well, people were throwing some stuff on social media. It's like those you know, fun little games, you know, pick three or cut five or whatever it is. I think it was Cruz Oxenrider. He had posted maybe a couple of these with like defensive line and linebacker additions, which, you know, I mean, I played pretty much both of those. So I was like, oh, heck yeah, we got to get in on this. And it featured a number of Alabama, you know, former players. So I want to play that game at some point too, right? Best linebacker. This is like during their college tenure. So it's a tough game to play, but I think it'd be cool. So we'll have some fun, man. We got a lot of stuff that we'll throw at you on this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Of course, we always remind you guys to get in on the conversation, 205-342-9904. If you want to call in, you can always join us on any of the streams. We're live on X. We're live on YouTube at the Miller's Edge. And of course, on the Tide Facebook page as well. Come check us out. Come hang out with us if you want to watch us do the show. Me and Chase got the cameras turned on, looking pretty as ever, just hanging out and shooting the stuff here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
800-923-6829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on advertise with us on our website.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. All right, we got a number of things we're going to talk about here on the show, Chase. But first, man, I know we got to get a recap on what happened this weekend with softball. So, Chase, if you want to give us one of your viral breakdowns that you've got going on X, man, SEC softball tournament took place this weekend in Kentucky, right? It was over in Kentucky?
Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah, and I want to say they're moving to North Alabama, I think, starting next year.
So yeah,
that might be in our favor, I guess. I mean, clearly not for us, but you get the point, man. A lot of Bama fans will be able to go and attend it. Anyway, we're worried about what happened this past weekend. Chase, talk to us, because they had a nice run. They had some big wins, and I know you talked a little bit about it on the show Friday, but then they meet Texas, a team who is also a very good team. I think you even were telling me at one point they were top team. Were they at one point? Yes, yeah. They were. And they met their match, unfortunately, and we saw how that went. Texas ended up with a very convincing lead, even late. And I know it just kind of it seemed like we didn't really have too much of a shot. And unfortunately, we didn't win that game. But talk to us, Chase, your breakdown of kind of the softball's performance during the SEC tournament this weekend.
I think just overall, Christian, Texas was just the better team that day. Started off with the first inning with Alexis Papillo, who's been really the staple offensive hitters for Alabama. She hit a homer off of Tegan Caban, who's arguably one of the best pitchers, not only in the SEC, which is a big feat, but in college softball right now, and that's a huge, huge honor. And then I believe after that, Tegan just kind of, she adjusted. A lot of her pitches were better. Just overall, Alabama just couldn't hit them. Coach Murphy said in his statement that a lot of his hitters were hitting balls that just weren't there, and that's unlike Alabama to do, and they just couldn't pick it up. And then you can't hold Texas down for long. They have a lot of good hitters like Katie Stewart and so many others that are not new to the game. They've been here before. They understand the standard of Texas. They understand that winning is at all possible. And honestly, it was hard for Alabama to contend, but you have to give Texas credit. They're sound on offense, sound on defense. They don't make a lot of errors. Even when Alabama beat them in the game series in the season, Alabama had to give it all they got. You know, they got punched in the first game. And then the second and third game, they understood, like, hey, Texas is number one, number two, number three at that time for a reason. But it's good for Alabama to kind of have a reality check, because you don't want to go so high into this regional that, you know, you lose at home. And that's the last thing you want to do, especially with opponents that I would say are not necessarily better than you, but you're expected to win. But I would circle Texas for sure, that they're going to have a deep run in these regionals, because, like I said, they're good. You know, Tegan Caban, one of my favorite players to watch. You know, a lot of her fastball, her curveballs, her changeups, it's just hard to hit. You know, she gave Oklahoma fits. She gave Texas Tech fits. It's just, she's one of those pitchers that you're hoping to get contact and build from there. But spoke to Coach Murphy, and, you know, kind of seeing him doing the little underhand, little arm thing, that's something I'm going to joke with him about this week when I see him. But, you know, he told me that they're just looking to turn the page. You know, they're thankful that they got through the season, and because it's a hard season. You play a lot of games, you see a lot of opponents, injuries, a lot of ups and downs, but it's big. And, you know, and another thing too with the pitching for Alabama, I think that's something to be concerned about a little bit. Jocelyn Brisky gave it all she got, but she's only one player. You have to rely on your other players like Paluzzi and Vic Moten, who's one of the best freshmen in the country. But you kind of wonder, can they keep it up when you face other teams that can hit the ball? You know, Texas is the only team that is good right now, so it should be interesting. But again, like I said earlier, you should be very, very proud of Alabama for giving a lot of teams like Georgia, a lot of teams like Arkansas who got hot late. You know, you should be happy that they beat those teams, because it propels them for when they face your neck of the woods, Christian, which is pretty cool. I didn't know that. And then Southeast Louisiana, where I went there for about a year or two, they're a good program.
Oh, dang.
I have a lot of connections there. So it should be nice. Interesting. Yeah. It should be interesting how it all unfolds. But like someone said in the chat, they are number one for a reason. And you'll see that this weekend, this Friday. So at the sound of my voice, please, guys, go support Alabama softball. They are really, 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 really good at what they do. And it's a show you do not want to miss.
And you mentioned it, their games are very exciting, right? The passion at Rhodes Stadium is second to none, man. If you guys haven't checked out a softball game and you're looking for something to do, I definitely recommend you go check it out, man. Hopefully the weather's good. I know it's heating up, man. Chase, it has been hot the past couple of days. So hopefully it's not too hot, but hopefully it's sunny and good weather and you guys can go out there and enjoy it, because I'm looking forward to it. But that's crazy. You got some connections with the team that will be here in the regionals. Now, I didn't attend USC upstate, but, you know, it's from the Carolinas, the South Kakalaki part of the world, which is where I'm from. So interesting stuff there. And definitely rooting for our girls here to, you know, cruise. No, I shouldn't say cruise to that. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I respect all our opponents. But you know what I mean? When you're the number one seed, I mean, you're set up with, I mean, you see the teams that are going to be in the groupings. And like you mentioned, if they breeze through that, they should be hosting a super regional as well, which is probably going to feature some even better teams, which is always good. Again, I got into this probably, what, 3 years ago now? And I think one of the first games I was attending was one of these regional games. And that's what got me hooked, man, because I just kept going back. And Coach Murph was so nice. He was like, yeah, you guys can hang out right here, like off the little dugout area. And we were just chilling, watching. And I'm like, man, this is really fun stuff. So glad that they're kind of in that mode now, that postseason mode. And They're doing some really big stuff. So shout out to our softball team. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. Again, we got a number of things we'll talk about. Some ideas being floated around from the, I guess, presidential committee. We talked a little bit about that. And no, we didn't talk about it. I mentioned it to you guys, I should say, about some of those ideas. I want to get y'all's thoughts on some of those ideas that are being floated around. Which ones you would be okay with? Which ones maybe you think would make sense? Again, it featured things like a new governing entity, strict cap circumvention, a G6 playoff. I definitely think that could be interesting. We could talk a little bit about that. Capping coaches and AD salaries. Maybe that's another one. Maybe we'll break down like each one, maybe three of those, and kind of get y'all's thoughts on it, because a couple of them are definitely interesting. Then we got this game to play again. I think it was Cruz Oxenrider that posted this. Keep four, cut eight. We got to play this game, Chase. It features college football's defensive tackle / defensive end, right? So you got to design a defensive line, basically. And you've got some really good players to choose from, but there's 12 total. You can only keep four. It's just a one deep. You got to cut eight of these guys. And I'm going to throw out some names, Chase, just so you guys realize how tough this is going to be. You got Jadeveon Clowney. You got Quinnen Williams. You got Will Anderson. You got, okay, Big Sue, right? How do you pronounce his first name again? Is it Ndamukong?
Ndamukong.
Ndamukong, thank you. I was about to say, I always just called him Big Sue. But I don't know if you, Chase, in college, he was like the dude. I mean, in the NFL, too, I know a lot of it was kind of overshadowed with, he was kind of like the Draymond Green of the NFL for a while, if you guys remember. He was always getting into some mess. He actually has a podcast now where he's like, you know, really put some actual good information out for young athletes about like, you know, investing and in financial wealth management, all that stuff. So it's actually kind of interesting. I'm like, this guy was like literally like terrorizing people on the field, not like, you know, after the whistle type stuff. And now he's he got this great podcast where he's very mature. I don't know if that really, you guys get the point. Gerald McCoy, one of my former teammates. Khalil Mack. So there's some dudes on this list. So we'll play this game and we'll see what you guys come up with. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide. Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy.
Proud partners. What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
Quick, it's easy, and it's free. Go to MyLocalCustomers.com today.
That's MyLocalCustomers.com. MyLocalCustomers.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
In the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTVC. Hey, Chase, so during the break, we just were talking about basically some of these ideas, right? These ideas that are being thrown around. And thank you again real quick for that softball recap. That was phenomenal. Round of applause for Chase, man. Chase is our new softball insider here on the show. Of course, he covers all sports. I know he talks about women's basketball, men's basketball, and he's going to be covering men's baseball. For himself and for us here on the show, man. So shout out to Chase, man. He's going to be covering the baseball tournament up in Birmingham when that comes. So we've already got that approved, and we're excited about that. So Chase will be giving us some boots on the ground over at the men's baseball tournament coming up. So shout out to Chase for that. I mentioned during the break the whole deal about the presidential committee coming up with this draft, Chase, and some of the things that they mentioned on here. So I was reading this, and for our radio listeners that missed it, I'll just kind of summarize the first page. But it basically was just explaining the point of this is they're trying to come up with things in order to better serve college athletics. We all know that. And one of those is the incorporation of a task force, right, that would be called the College Sports Reform Task Force, or just the task force. And they would be set to address the immediate issues facing college sports, which are not directly addressed in legislation. So basically, I mean, they would be doing rulemaking, enforcement. It would be established under the existing NCAA. And pretty much, Chase, I mean, they would be the enforcers of all this stuff that we're talking about, which is very interesting to see. I guess it goes on and it talks a lot about it. Maybe you have this answer for me, but like who would be on this committee/task force? You know what I mean? Like, I know we have the College Football Playoff Committee that consists of, what, former coaches, ADs, current ADs. Wasn't Condoleezza Rice or somebody random on there at one
she
point,
was.
Like the first one?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I don't know who is going to be selected for this task force or if this task force is a thing, but it does say, oh, here we go. I think this is an answer, maybe. Will be composed of key constituents in the ecosystem to ensure that the adequate representation is provided to student athletes, small schools, big schools, revenue sports, non-revenue sports, both women's and men's sports, and HBCUs. The task force will have a 2-year term and receive the authority to establish rules and reforms during this short period that carry permanent antitrust exemption and preemption of state action. The first objective of the task force is to provide a near immediate stopgap for the current degradation and destruction of the American college sports system through taking action without risk of litigation, implement such rules and reforms as national standards and interrupt the disruptive and, oh my God, I was doing so good with all these words, Chase, and then they finally caught up to me. Okay. You know what? We're just going to keep moving on. All right. They're going to do all that I just said. These words are, it's a Monday out. Hey, listen, you got to give me credit, Chase. I was going smooth as hell. I'm like, I was proud. I was like, man, granted, not selling myself short. I mean, I think I'm a pretty good reader here.
With the scholar you are, but I say you got to give them some credit because those words, I'm like, I'm glad I'm not reading that. I got glasses.
I'm going to blame it on the glasses too because I'm like 20/140 in my left eye. So yeah, I can't read it, but yeah, no, I'm making excuses. Anyway, it does go on to say the rules set by the task force during this term will retain permanent antitrust protection. Such rules will be the controlling mandates that govern college sports unless or until modified or amended. So it sounds like, I mean, they're trying to really push some serious, I guess, intervention, maybe you could use the word here, Chase, for college athletics with this quote unquote task force. I guess my biggest question is like, I mean, how realistic is this to happening, right? Because I feel like for 2 years, man, we've just been talking about all these ideas or all these things that are going to happen. And then, what is actually happening? You know what I mean? Like, this does sound good, Chase. I mean, I'm with this whole task force, but here's my biggest thing. This is one thing I learned from our official lawyer and representation here on the show, Mr. Adam Lamparello of Lamparello Law. Check out the new website, lamparello-law.com. Is this legal? That's my biggest question, because think about it. I mean, technically, the NCAA served as what? A governing body for all these years? I mean, it's kind of interesting when you think about it. We make it seem like that there's no governing body. Technically, I guess the NCAA served as some form of a governing body, just got completely dismantled and stripped of all its power. Why? Because they deemed in the court of law that they didn't necessarily have that said power, or at least they couldn't enforce it the way they had done in the past. If I'm getting that right. So I guess my biggest question, Chase, is will this be, I guess, legal? Like, are we going to see, you know, because think about it. When people brought up, just like the whole, I guess, visit with Coach Saban and others to the White House, the first thing we started hearing were people just saying, oh, they can't do that. They are not allowed to enforce that. And remember, we had the whole debate about, well, it's not an official law, but it would be what's the term I'm looking for? I can't remember what it was, but an executive order, right? So I don't know. I mean, again, this is why we save these conversations for Thursdays with our official lawyer here on the show, because he he can answer all these questions that I can't necessarily answer. But anyway, this is one of the big things. I'm just kind of curious what you guys might think about this task force. Again, this is like one of the ideas on the list, and I'll name the other ones here in a minute, but it does go on to say, and I'll throw it back on the screen, that way you guys can read it as well, because clearly my reading powers kind of gave up on me there. But it says, phase one of the objectives of the task force would be creating rules and reforms that can quickly be implemented to stabilize, college athletics in this ecosystem, right? I'm trying to skim through this. So here it goes. So these are some of the things that they're throwing out there that we also mentioned. Near-term revenue enhancement and cost controls. So when we say talk about cost controls, I just saw an article talking about how expensive like these rosters are, just they're flying through the roof, Chase. I mean, and it's not sustainable. So I guess here's some things that would help with that. Elimination of a salary cap circumvention, including but not limited to booster collectives and prohibition of redirection of athletic department revenues for multimedia rights, apparel contracts, and other sources, CFP modification, revenue distribution, March Madness marketing and monetization, schedule optimization, G6 playoff reconfiguration of conferences, scheduling for non-revenue sports to decrease travel costs and burden on the schools and student athletes, coach and administration salary caps, and of course, implementation of some or all of these measures will likely require some measure of antitrust protection. So that's a lot I just threw at you guys, but that's kind of what is being, and I wouldn't say proposed, because again, these are just ideas. Then you start seeing some of these other things that we've already been talking about. I mean, NIL governance, student athlete eligibility, transfer portal, regulation, things that are definitely being discussed. But it goes on to say a number of things, and I'm not going to sit there and read through all this. But with that being said, I'm curious what you guys think about it. Number one, do you think this is just another talking point? Or do you guys think this is something that we could actually see happen? I mean, this task force, I mean, it sounds legit, Chase. I mean, what was the official name for it again? Hold on, let me go back a couple of slides. The official name was the College Sports Reform Task Force. Kind of sounds like a police agency or something. I don't know. It sounds kind of serious. I mean, Chase, you tell me before we hit this break, man. I mean, do you think this is just more talk? Just stuff that we're just throwing out there, just kind of like if you really think about it, the AFCA thing, we made a big deal about the 24-team playoff expansion. Who knows if it even happens, because come to find out, but I guess, you know, after hearing Pat McAfee talk about it on his show, that's just coaches saying, hey, we would be okay with this. At this point, you don't even really know kind of what's actually going to happen and what's not. What do you think about this task force, Chase?
I like it. I think it's definitely needed, especially with how much chaos is going on right now in the NCAA, from terms of revenue to rosters being too expensive, coaches earning too much or too little, players leaving when they want, you know, in terms of even with other athletic teams having to shut down. It's more popular nowadays than it has been in forever, and that sucks because, you know, if you're not making money at these universities, they're going to cut you. And I think a lot of what makes college what it is the athletics. You know, you education is number one, but if you lose that art of athletics, you're putting so much pressure on these teams like football, basketball, baseball to perform, and they're not performing, they're not making money. So I think it's very, very important that this task force, I feel like it's like the Avengers coming to save the day type of stuff. But like you said before, we've seen this before, and it just doesn't fall through. You know, I thought when Coach Saban and President Trump and Condoleezza Rice were talking about this, and that AD, I believe, or billionaire from Texas Tech was supposed to come together and quote unquote save college sports, I thought that was a done deal. And then I don't hear about it anymore. And Saban is on Pat McAfee, and President Trump is doing his thing, and Condoleezza Rice is doing her thing. And I'm like, was this all a hoax? Like, well, this was supposed to help, and now this is a few months later, and you're telling me there's another idea coming up? And it's like, how much faith do you put into this when you're exactly right? Is this even legal? we can't even go forward with this, and then we're like, oh, it's not legal. We're back to square one. You know, we're back in this crisis, and it's just like, you know, what do we do from here? So I don't think it's going to fall through because there's so many legality issues that I think is going to be brought up, especially when you bring it up with Adam Lamparello, our guy on Wednesday. Yeah. So I'm scared what he might say.
Oh, yeah, and then he would have more answers. I did click underneath the tweet, and I will say, because my biggest, like you mentioned, like the meeting that they had at Capitol Hill, Coach Saban was in attendance. Everybody made a big fuss about that. My biggest question is, like, is this stemming from that? Because I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't have all these details of this stuff. It sounds like it's coming from that, but I don't know. But underneath, Ross Dellinger did add a couple of things, and I know we're going to hit this timeout, but I want to throw this out there. It says the committees, which he said the committees. I mean, how many damn committees are there at this point, man? And what committees are we talking about? I'm lost. But he says, which include commissioners, ADs, presidents, White House reps, and pro sports / business executives. So I guess all the people we kind of assumed have held three rounds of meetings and will continue working towards a finite set of recommendations intended for congressional use during bill negotiations. So that's something interesting there, Chase, because that basically sounds like, hey, they're having these discussions. That way, when these bill negotiations come up, they'll have all this, I guess, planned out or discussed, and we'll see kind of what sticks and what doesn't. But we talked about the legality side of things. It does sound at least like they're trying to get this implemented legally, which if it's implemented legally, I mean, I don't think there's as many questions to be had, right? I mean, a law is a law. Granted, I guess people can always try to go against that, but you get the point. Then he also says the committees are the result of the presidential roundtable held in February. So there's our answer on that. So that's what I was thinking was the case. It's just I didn't know for sure, but now we know. So this is a result of that roundtable meeting, and it's being led by the Yankees president Randy Levine, Cody Campbell, who I think is the Texas Tech booster, if I'm not mistaken, at least the name, I'm pretty sure it sounds right, and Governor Ron DeSantis. And then it says, most notably, perhaps, one of the committees last month expedited movement towards a 24-team playoff. So here we go with the multiple committees. I don't know what committee is what. I don't know how many committees there are. I don't know who is even in charge of. I don't know, guys. I apologize. I'm the host of this show, and I'll be the first one to tell you. I'm probably about as confused as you guys, but we're going to learn together. And maybe we'll just we'll reach out to somebody, see if they can help explain and make some sense of this. Because I have a master's degree, but it's in sport business management, which now I think about it, that's not an excuse, Chase. That actually kind of is close to this. I was going to say, hey, kinesiology is my undergrad. This is out of my my realm. But then I realized my master's probably would cover this. And yeah. I probably should know. All right, we got to hit a timeout. When we come back, we keep on rolling on this Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 1.9, 1230 WTBC. Get y'all's thoughts on all this, plus more when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 1.9, 1230 WTBC.
With Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Monday edition of The Game, we'll talk to Josh from College Football Nerds. We'll have a chance to visit with Drew DeArmond. We'll talk to Mark Houston as we'll recap another busy weekend on the University of Alabama campus and set the stage for another busy week here on the show. Starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, your home of Alabama Crimson Tide sports.
Longest running sports talk show in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and 1230 a.m. WTBC. And streaming worldwide on the free Tide app.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205.
Services for our complete range of duct services, 205-339-6540 or at adamsfcs.com. Adams Services.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are Bluetooth kits and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We got a short one here because we went a little long on that last one. I was, there's so many details we are trying to extract out of that whole deal from Ross Dellinger, but really we just talked about the main gist of it, Chase, which was the task force that they're discussing. And after examining further details here, and let's talk all scientifically since we've been reading like that this whole time, it does seem like this actually might stick, Chase. I mean, it's stemming from the February roundtable meeting that we were discussing. So we got that answer there. And they're trying to basically have all these things in order. That way, when they do throw these in a bill or a law, when they get to that next step, everything's kind of in, you know, the ducks are in a row and they'll see kind of what sticks, what gets passed, and then we'll kind of go from there. But I'm with you. Just my opinion real quick as we approach this top hour break. I'm for it. You know, I've seen the people that kind of given pushback on the, you know, don't try to take away from the players now. You guys don't want the players to benefit. Like, listen, man, this is coming from a former player who is not, I'm not jealous that players are getting paid. I've always talked about, like, you know, we couldn't work jobs. They can't work jobs. They're going out there putting their bodies on the line. These TV deals are massive. Free education is very powerful, and it is definitely something that you should be grateful and appreciative for. I'm not saying that. But to say that they don't deserve any type of compensation while all these other people are making millions, and this is $1 billion, you know, billions of dollars worth of a business, that's just crazy. All right, me and Chase are big WWE fans. Nick Khan and all these people in TKO making $35+ million, and you know, you're talking about roster cuts and this and that. Like, you know, I'm always going to be an advocate for the people that are doing, you know, putting their bodies on line, stuff like that. They need to be compensated, right? I don't think that's right. If the people running the ship just makes all the money, then the people actually perform are making nothing. That's kind of what it was. Again, scholarship was something, and I was the first one to say that. Like, it's not like we didn't get anything, but that's not enough to justify everything a student athlete does, not to mention even just saying, oh, you can't even monetize yourself. That to me was crazy. That was the craziest thing, knowing that there's other things than just a scholarship. Scholarship don't pay gas. And gas is not cheap. Scholarships don't pay phone bills. Scholarships don't, and neither does the university. So you got to come up with some way to do that. And you got to think, guys, like, there's some kids that come from backgrounds where their families can't do that, you know? So that's something to consider with that whole deal. That said, it's got to be managed, that's why I'm such a strong and firm believer of that. Because without the legislation, the management, it is just spiraled where it's not sustainable, and we need it to be sustainable. Anyway, we got to hit this top of our break. We'll keep talking a little bit about that, get y'all's thoughts on that. Plus, we'll play some of these games, man. We'll spruce it up a little bit in hour number two. I got to play this Keep 4, Cut 8 game with you guys and get y'all's thoughts on it, because there's a lot of good players on here, and I want to see how y'all's brain works. Y'all always talk about D-line and we need dogs, this and that. Well, you got a chance to design when we play this game. Let's see what you guys come up with right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are tied up 2 games apiece in their second round playoff series after beating the Spurs 114-109. Anthony Edwards scored 36 points. Spurs star Victor Wembanyama was kicked out in the first half after throwing an elbow. The New York Knicks completed a 4-game sweep, winning easily at Philadelphia 144-114. Two more playoff games on Monday night. The Wizards won the NBA's draft lottery. Among the 4 WNBA games, New York 2-0. Won in overtime at Washington. In the NHL playoffs, Anaheim tied 2 games apiece in its second rounder after beating Vegas 4-3. Montreal took a 2-1 lead over Buffalo after whipping the Sabres Sunday night 6-2. The golf winner in Charlotte was Chris Rayton from Norway. The NASCAR victory at Watkins Glen went to Shane Van Gisbergen. In Sunday night baseball, Tigers 6-3 over KC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more
at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless advocacy. For guidance you can trust, call 201-317-5115 or visit lamparello-law.com. That's Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy. Proud partner.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30 plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case, and this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
The Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. If you guys are watching on the stream, which I always encourage you guys, if you guys want to watch us do the show, we always put stuff on the screen. We do film breakdowns. We watch clips. We do all that stuff. Check us out at The Miller's Edge on YouTube, at The Miller's Edge on X, and, of course, the Tide 100.9 Facebook page. Speaking of Facebook, shout out to Joshua Aaron Tucker, who just said, Roll Tide in the comment section there, man. What's up, buddy? All right, so if you're listening to it via the stream, I was talking to our chat. I was just explaining, because we're talking about this task force and all this, and I was just detailing my experience as a student before NIL. And basically what I was saying was, you know, life was a lot different then, Chase. I mean, you tell me. Basically what I said was, living off campus, the stipend was $1,600. You know, dining hall covered your food, so you're pretty good there. But, you know, car, whether that's car payment, insurance, phone bill, when the dining hall is closed, like on the weekend, I mean, you got to get food, you know, paying, you know, gas for your car. My dad always jokes about taking your girl out to eat or something. I mean, like, Yeah, to stretch it. Now, if you lived in the dorms, your living expenses were covered, but you only got $125 a month. I mean, you sneeze and that's gone. You know what I'm saying? So long story short, it was a lot different. But let me ask you this, Chase. You think, say you're, because you had to live in the dorms. I wonder, was it the first 2 years? I want to say it was your first 2 years you had to live in the dorms.
Mm-hmm.
You move off campus your junior year, Chase. You got $1,600. You think you could stretch that? Now, remember, you do have the food covered a lot. You have a lot of these things, but you think you can make that stretch? Now, $1,600 in 2026 is a lot different than $1,600 in 2016.
I was about to ask you, what year are we talking about? Because this was, like you said, maybe a few years ago. I think mm-hmm. I could definitely stretch it in terms of, like, groceries and then being with the roommates, depending on the rent, you know, especially with car insurance, like car payment. You talk about, you know, because I had to pay for my own tuition. So, you know, there's a lot that went into stretching it. You know, it's not as easy. I didn't have parents. I could pay for everything. So I had to figure out, okay, I can't go out on the weekends. I'm going to have to stay my butt inside and just play video games or something like that. Or, you know, I can't just buy all this food from like Target. I'm going to have to go to like a Piggly Wiggly's or like an Aldi's or something like that that I could afford. Now, it's actually really cool that you tell your story about it, because when I was going to Mississippi State and I talked to some of the athletes about it, like, they were kind of struggling about it too, because, mm-hmm. you know, you're in the SEC. It's kind of this mantra of like, go big or go home. So you're kind of like trying to live up to that status of it. But then in reality, you know, with Mississippi, it's not really that wealthy. You know, they don't have a lot of earning opportunities to make the money like in Alabama or like an LSU. You know, a lot of those athletes are very, very gracious enough to have that. But Mississippi State, you know, not saying, and they were barely making it by, but when you compare it to other top schools, like, it was hard. You know, they had to figure out ways to, you know, get them, you know, because they were fed and, you know, they had opportunities to travel and stuff like that. But when it came to stuff they couldn't pay for, you know, they had to get out of their pocket.
Yeah. And that's why I bring up the point, like, because here's an example. Like Fromm in the chat, he said, Christian, you made it with NIL. And like basically saying, like, you know, you're able to figure it out. And he's 100% right. But one thing I had to learn was, you know, I had the luxury of, like, for example, like, I still was on, you know, my parents' phone plan. Not everybody had that luxury. Now, granted, I saved up money and I bought my first car. Like, I already owned my car. Like, my truck, I bought that from, I saved when I was like, dude, I've always, and I don't know if I just had, was born with it, or, but I always saved money. Like, since I was like 10 years old, I never wanted to spend money. I just always wanted to save. So I would just save and save. And I got into flipping cars and mopeds and motorcycles, dirt bikes and stuff off Craigslist. My dad used to just go through a bunch of old phones and electronics and stuff. I used to find them around the house. I would sell them on Craigslist. Don't try to come back for it now. Don't worry about it. He didn't hear that. Anyway, but I bought my own car, so I was good there. But still, like, I think my mom was like helping with the car insurance. But if I didn't have that, Chase, I wasn't going to be able to, I couldn't afford that with $125. So I guess the whole point that I'm saying is that, like, even if we could have just did a simple, hey, we can go do an autograph signing, make a few $100 here or there, that would have been so helpful. And to me, like, when we, and I know we're going way back here, but when they first mentioned NIL, that's all I was thinking. Like, I always talk about this. I did a project on NIL when I was in college. You know, the Olympic model was a thing, right? You know, Olympic model, they do endorsement deals. And that's kind of what I was just saying, like, yeah, just allow players in college to do endorsement deals. You don't need pay for play, even though there could be or should be some type of compensation. Like, again, there's no reason all these other people should be sitting there on millions of dollars. And you just say the people that are going into that arena that are doing this gladiator type or any type of sport for that matter. But you talk about football and how dangerous of a sport it is. You're just saying, hey, you need to be happy with the education only. Nah, man, there could be a little bit more than that. So anyway, I brought all that up to say it's just so different now. And that's why I had the thought that I have, because on one end, I do understand, like, we had to make it work. We did make it work. I'm sure there were some gentlemen's handshakes along the way with some folks. I never had any gentleman handshakes, but that did happen. We all know that. But that said, I think it's kind of just spiraled. And that's why you're seeing the task force and all these other people come up with this stuff. But I always like explaining my experience, because I don't think people really have a true understanding, Chase, of really what it was. I think people just assume, oh, you have a scholarship, you have a dining hall, you don't need anything. But then when you break stuff down like that, they go, oh, well, to be fair, yeah, you do need a little bit of money to pay for this, that, the third. Now, there's some other things we used to do. Like, we could sell our books. The books we got were free. But then after you were done using them, we'd make our way over to, what was it, like the soup store? Go sell our books, make a couple $100 here or there. I mean, listen, there are some ways you could, I mean, listen, you had to hustle a little bit, but you can figure it out. And but that's why it's so crazy, Chase, to see going from we're hustling, selling books, using Bama bucks. And I'm talking about, you see the parking lot now. Some of these dudes, Chase, think about this. I'm not trying to pocket watch here, but think about, I'm not going to even say any names, but some of our key players from last season that ended up being late draft picks, they're making more money here than they're going to make in the NFL. Now, if they are on the active roster, the new, minimum is like $900K. So actually, if they're on the active roster, they're good. But if they were a late round pick and they end up being on P squad, brother, they're making more in college. And think about this. They probably have more benefits in college. Now, NFL covers a lot. Don't get me wrong. NFL does cover a lot. I mean, there's still food, but you don't have like a 20, like dining hall in college is like, NFL dining hall is like when you're up there. Yeah, you got the breakfast there. After prayer, you got some lunch. But like in college, you got the evening dining hall. That adds up. So you almost got to think about it, Chase. These guys almost have it better in college than they do if you're in a certain situation in the NFL. Real, real different world we're living in, man.
You think it'll come to a point where the NFL will have to change that to compete with the NCAA in terms of like, because, you know, the money they're making, like you said, and then I didn't think about the benefits side of it, because like if you're cut, you're cut. Like there's nothing that kind of comes from that. You know, you don't get a second chance, obviously, if a team picks you up. But, you know, that is something that I would imagine a lot of these like future draft picks that are not going to be in the first round, but second, third, and so on and so forth, would be like, well, you know, if I made X amount of money here, I got treated well, you know, I was very well taken care of. But if I put myself out there in the NFL, I'm not going to get the same thing. You know, it's not guaranteed. You know, it's kind of like a selfish way to think about it. Like, we have to go there. But, you know, is that something you see the NFL doing?
Well, you bring up a really good point, Chase, because hear me out on this. There's already talk that the NFL draft has been watered down due to more players staying in college, to the point where some people even said we might even see them cutting some of the rounds out of the NFL draft. I don't think that ends up happening, but people are basically saying rounds 5 through 7. I even talked to a guy that coaches in the NFL, and he even said, right, I'm not going to say what team or whatever, but he even straight up said, when it gets to rounds 5 through 7, especially now more than ever, it's kind of just like they've started to view those guys really as undrafted free agent caliber type players. And it's more so, hey, who are we just going to prioritize that we don't, you know, that we want to just prioritize it that way we can get them. We don't really view them as a draft pick. Like, it's just we want to, you know, get tabs on them, which the 7th round has always been that pretty much. But now you're hearing it bump up to like the 5th round, where they're saying, hey, even in the 5th round, the quality of players has dropped significantly to the point where it's kind of just like, hey, we view this guy pretty much as the undrafted guy, but we just want tabs on him. When you hear that about the 5th round, Chase, that's kind of crazy, man. I mean, because think about it. I mean, there's been like a lot of, think about it. Number of undrafted guys have gone on to be really good players. But, I mean, 5th round is not like, it's a later round, but you still hear of some dudes that are still hanging there. Maybe there may be a health issue or something. You can get some good value in the 5th round. But the way these coaches are already talking about it, it's like, man. And I don't blame the players. Like, I mean, look at Oregon's quarterback. Now, I don't know, he might have had other reasons. I don't know why he didn't come out. Dante Moore, that one was kind of weird to me because, no disrespect to Ty Simpson, but I think without a doubt, Dante Moore probably would have been the second quarterback taken if he came out. This quarterback class was honestly probably one of the weakest ones. As a matter of fact, somebody in the NFL I talked to said that. They said this quarterback class was horrific. I mean, it was bad. So I was kind of shocked on that one, but look at him. And we're talking about Oregon. We know they pay a lot of money. I mean, I almost kind of view it like, man, I mean, I don't think he – now, that I don't know. That one's kind of tough. He might be one of the ones that I think he might have should have just come out. Because you look at Ty being the, 13th pick or wherever he was at. I think his signing bonus is around like 15. Not pocket watching, just being honest. Now, if you get a signing bonus for 15 mil – and in Ty's case, they're paying him 15 mil plus salary to just sit there and learn. I mean, I can't think of a better deal than that. I mean, what is there a better job in this world than that? So Dante Moore is like the only one, but some of these other players, Chase, I mean, I don't blame them. Now, listen here, though. This is the other side of it, though. I think it could also work against you. You want me to throw out a name who I think it could have worked against? And I hate to say it like this, but I mean, it's just a question because this came up in a conversation. Deontay Lawson. He had a little bit more, I guess, traction and had a little bit more buzz the year before. Now, remember, he got hurt late in the year, but it just makes you wonder. I mean, like, because he ended up ultimately going undrafted. Now, I don't think I would have recommended him entering the NFL draft going off that injury, but a situation like that, or I'm sure there's been a couple other guys, if you look at them, where they decided to stay in school and it didn't necessarily work out for them. I mean, I almost look at it from that perspective too, like maybe it also works against you in some more cases than it used to. Maybe, I don't know if it's more now. You get what I'm saying? I don't know, but I just feel like guys might be more tempted to stay in college due to the money that is in college, which on one front, that is, it makes sense. I don't blame them. I think that's kind of smart. But I think it also is worth considering that there's some guys that might decide to stay for those benefits, but then ultimately they end up losing some of their value. And then they're in a position where when they get to the NFL, like you mentioned, we all know late round picks, man, you don't have security. It's an uphill climb. Not saying you can't do it. I mean, we see undrafted guys and late round guys play a decade in the league all the time. But it's a lot more difficult and you have a lot less opportunities if you're a guy that's drafted a lot earlier. So I think it can kind of work both ways, though. Now, to put a bow on this, if you manage your money right, you should be okay either way. But the problem is, and I'm not trying to pocket watch, I'm just being honest. The cars I see these guys driving in college, and then you hear a lot of these guys that are drafted, I already have my dream car. Now, if you're one of those guys, those first-round guys, I mean, I'm sure in a good spot. But I can't help but when I see some of our guys that ended up being late-round guys that were prominent players here, were probably being paid pretty nicely. Like, I hope they manage their financials correctly. See what I'm saying, Chase? Because if not, that could be a tough reality to come to when you put all your eggs in the, oh, I'm going to the NFL basket. So I've been making all this good money in college, but I hadn't been taking care of it the way I should have. Because I just have been thinking, oh, that's just play money because the real money comes in the NFL. But, bro, the real money comes on a second contract or if you're a top first, second round pick. You see what I mean, Chase? I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things that we can pull out of this whole thing. It's being honest, man. It's kind of crazy, but that's why it's important to have the right people in your corner. We got to hit a timeout. We come back. We keep on rolling. We got this game to play. We're going to play a keep four, cut eight, man. And we'll do a defense line first, and we'll move on to linebackers. Again, I think Cruz Oxenrider is not my game. I saw him tweet this this weekend, and it caught my attention. So we'll play that, have some fun. We come back right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTBC.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393.
Bluetooth kits, and so much more. If your golf cart needs repairs, the pros at Dixie Custom Carts can handle the job. Dixie Custom Carts, Greensboro Avenue in Tuscaloosa.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law, Education, and Advocacy. Founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases. Known for real care and relentless advocacy.
The Hartford. Your protection is our passion. The Hartford Insurance Group, Inc. pays royalty fees to AARP for the use of its intellectual property. AARP and its affiliates are not insurers. Savings vary.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing
learning experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Here's your Tuscaloosa and West Alabama forecast this afternoon. Cloudy, comfortably warm at 81, a gentle north breeze at about 10 miles per hour. Staying cloudy and cool tonight. We drop back to 57. Keep the sunglasses handy for tomorrow. Bright sunshine. We'll see you Tuesday and Wednesday's highs in the mid-80s. Fine weather expected through the rest of the week. This is meteorologist Richard DeWetting at the Weather Channel for Town Square Media Tuscaloosa.
It's 78 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, let's have a little fun, man. We've been talking about this task force and some of these things coming up. I mean, I do want to piggyback off that here in a second. And if you guys have got, if you have any thoughts on that, 205-342-9904, you can jump in on the conversation. But maybe the G6 playoff, we'll talk a little bit about that because that one definitely caught my attention too. But let's play this game real quick, Chase. Let's segue real quick. Key 4, cut 8. Again, this is from Cruz Oxenrider on X, right? So I saw this and I was like, man, this is my type of game right here. We're talking defensive line, right? College football defensive line edition. Keep 4, cut 8. Now, this wasn't specified, Chase, but I wanted to be clear on this. We're going off of what these guys did in college. Because if you add in their pro careers, that kind of changes, I guess, maybe how you would pick some of these players potentially. So since we're doing a college edition, let's stick to what they did in college. Now, I will also add this in there. 2 D tackles, 2 defensive ends. I know some people try to go like 3 D tackles and 1 D end. I'm like, all right, but it's not realistic, right, Chase? I mean, let's try to build a true defensive line unit. So if you wanted to build the ultimate defensive line, you got 12 options here. I'm gonna read them out for our radio listeners that can't see this. Starting up top, you've got Jadeveon Clowney. I mean, he was a menace at South Carolina. And I know you guys remember that hit he had against Michigan in the bowl game. Knocked the running back's helmet off. You remember that hit, Chase? I think he was like on a stunt. Stunt inside, just came clean and just popped dude's helmet off. I mean, it's one of the best college football hits in history, in my opinion. Chase Young, remember he was like a what, 16, 17 sack guy at Ohio State? I mean, he had a monstrous year. Miles Garrett. Now, Miles Garrett has a sack record in the NFL. I don't remember Miles Garrett production at Texas A&M. I know he was a damn good football player. We know that. But if we're not counting his sack record in the NFL, that might be something to just keep in mind here. Jalen Carter at Georgia. Quinnen Williams, my former teammate. We all know Quinnen is, his redshirt sophomore year because he left after his redshirt sophomore year, if I remember correctly. I mean, Quinnen was, I mean, he was unblockable. I don't know if you remember that, Chase, but I mean, we We played LSU at LSU. I mean, they had no answer. I mean, like, Quinnen was just everywhere, man. Stopping the run, pass rush ability was, I mean, clearly the best in the country from interior defensive linemen. Nick Fairley out of Auburn, really good player. Ndamukong Suh, I always butcher the first name. Big Suh, I mean, in college, he was just a dude, man. Jonathan Allen, you know how special a player he was. Gerald McCoy at Oklahoma. I played with him with the Panthers, but Oklahoma Gerald McCoy was that dude too. Aiden Hutchinson, very productive. I'll be honest with you though. He's probably one of the guys on the list that I'm like, I don't know if I've seen anybody keep him yet. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Big Ten people think differently, but Will Anderson. I mean, was that his freshman year that he had 17 sacks or was it sophomore year? I can't remember. It was one of them. Was it sophomore year? I think it might have been sophomore year because he came back his junior year. It wasn't as productive. 17 sacks is kind of hard to come across, especially when you're playing a little out of position and people are starting to game plan. And then last but not least, Khalil Mack. He was at Buffalo. But Khalil Mack, we all know, he's going to be a future Hall of Famer now. Chase, I'm going to give the floor to you, man. You got to pick four. Try to go two defensive ends, two defensive tackles. See if you can come up with the ultimate defensive line. Who are you going with? Now, that's a hard list. I mean, you got to cut eight of these guys. There's no reserves, man. We're just going keep four, cut eight. Which four are you keeping, Chase?
I'm keeping Quinnen. That's number one. It's funny you brought that LSU game up. I remember it. I was with my family, and I remember like it was yesterday. We just kept looking at each other like, what is going on? No one could block him. And he's just, yeah. And Quinn is just smiling about it. Like, it's play after play after play. So, Quinnen, I'm taking number one. Number two would have to be Chase Young. I follow Chase Young a lot at Ohio State because of just the kind of some of the controversies he had. So, it was cool to kind of overturn that and really just really power through that. And then the way he was set up at Ohio State was perfect. And then it gradually got better and better and better, and then obviously his NFL career and everything like that. See, this one gets hard. Jesus. Because I already have a DN in Chase Young, and then Quinnen was a DT, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So you need one more D tackle and one more N.
I'm gonna go with Gerald McCoy. I heard a lot of good stuff coming out of college, especially how much he used to terrorize. Sorry, Digger. He used to terrorize Texas. He was big, big on that rivalry. Watching some of his interviews from years back, he hated Texas. So his fire in that and just weighed in the Big 12 and how prominent they were back in. So that Gerald was a DT or DN, just to make sure.
D tackle.
Okay, and then DN. I'm going to go with Jadeveon. That hit he had on that Michigan quarterback, man, it felt so unreal to see it live. The way he just got through the line that quick and was able to stop that quarterback. Because that quarterback at that time was one of the best quarterbacks in that season, even though they didn't go that far. Like, he was very elusive, very quick with his feet. You know, he was great. But for Jadeveon to just say, like, you're not going anywhere, and I'm going to give you a freaking, like, JBL clothesline. It's over. So, yeah, I'm going with Jadeveon, Quinnen, Chase Young, and Gerald McCoy.
Sounds like a pretty good squad. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't think anybody could have a bad defensive line with this group. I mean, I think it probably – whatever four you pick would pretty much be the best defensive line any team would face, right? I mean, because all these guys, I'm pretty – I don't want to say every single guy on this list was All-American. I mean, all highly productive. If it was me and I had to pick four, keep four and cut eight, defensive end one, I got to go Clowney. Listen, as a kid from Columbia, South Carolina, my dad played for Carolina. I grew up watching the Gamecocks. Wasn't like the biggest Gamecocks fan, but I grew up watching South Carolina. They were recruiting me during that time. Matter of fact, I remember going on a visit and meeting Jadeveon Clowney, and I was like, man, he just was that dude. Like, I don't know if you guys had ever seen Jadeveon Clowney's high school highlights. He went to South Point High School, which is like a powerhouse back in South Carolina. But this dude was just, I mean, a freak, right? I mean, in terms of just the size, athleticism. I mean, in high school, the dude was even running the football. I mean, it's just ridiculous. But I got to go Jadeveon Clowney. I don't even remember what his numbers were. I'll pull them up real quick. His college numbers, I don't even remember what they were, but I don't care. I don't even care what his college numbers were. He just was that dominant of a player, man. It's like a force. And he kind of, I don't know, man, he kind of set the tone in terms of those defensive ends for South Carolina. I know they had guys like Eric Norwood and others in the past. Shout out to my dad. I get it. But like Clowney, I feel like for people my age, he was different. But here is in 2012, he had 13 sacks. His freshman year, he had 13 his sophomore year. He only had 3 in 2013. I do remember them talking about that low production, but yeah, he's still playing 11 games. That is kind of weird. His sack production went down as his final year in college, but I don't care. Give me Jadeveon Clowney for my defensive end one. For my defensive tackle one, I'm going Big Sue. Big Sue was that dude in college. I mean, he was that dude in the NFL too, but in college, Chase, I think he like swept every single award possible that he could have won. So give me Big Ndamukong Suh for defensive tackle one. For my other defensive end, I know I'm skipping. I'm going to go back here in a second because I'm still kind of on the fence about this one. This one was tough. But for defensive end two, give me Will Anderson. I mean, Will just had a motor. Will would just run through people's faces. He was physical. I know Will personally. I know the leader that he is. I know the teammate that he is. This guy is passionate about the game of football, right? I mean, like this guy, I mean, I've seen this guy like break down into tears over the game of football. Like, I mean, like he's just one of these dudes, man. So not only did he have one of the most productive seasons in college football history with his, you know, 17 and a half sacks, like a young sophomore here at Alabama, playing a little out of position, but just knowing the type of player he is, right, off the field, I need that on my defensive line. That's going to be infectious. He has everything you want to have a football player. So give me – that's Jadeveon Clowney and Will Anderson on the edges. Then I got Big Sue at defensive tackle, big physical, nasty dude that's just going to get after it. He's going to make life hell for an opposing offensive line. And this is where I had a little bit of a challenge, Chase. You got two other former Bama guys. Now, I don't want to offend any of my former teammates because I played with both these guys. I played with Big Q. I played with Jonathan Allen. Both guys are defensive tackles, slightly different in the way that they play. Q could even play a little bit of nose. John played, you know, like strong side and a number of snaps. But here's the thing, Chase. Q, I played with Q. We both got drafted together in 2019. So that was my fifth year, and it was his redshirt sophomore year. He was just so dominant that season, Chase. Like, it made my, like, you know, I have 9 or so sacks. I mean, I can't remember how many he had, but, like, when you have guys that are getting, you know, consistent pressure from the interior, it's pushing quarterbacks to me on the edge. I loved it, right? And vice versa. I'm bringing the heat. I'm forcing quarterbacks to step up right to him. And it was, I mean, so I know from playing with him what this dude is capable of. And I also know playing with Jonathan Allen, man. You talk about a dude with, I mean, violent hands, could get after the quarterback. I mean, a freak athlete. Could play all across the defensive line. I mean, Big John could play in the 5. He could play a 3. I mean, he probably could play in the shade a little bit on sub packages, working some games. So I'm gonna go Jonathan Allen. And then that one's really hard for me. I'm gonna be honest with you because I'm kind of leaning Q, but just knowing how versatile Jonathan Allen is. And I already got Big Sue right there. I just think those dudes would just be those two together, man. And John's got a little bit of a temper to him, too. Now, I mean, John's big, you know, nice dude off the field. But on the field, John's got that attitude to him. So I don't think I could go wrong with either one. And it's kind of hard just to pick one. But I'm going to go Jonathan Allen. So I got Jadeveon Clowney, Big Sue, Jonathan Allen, and Will Anderson. And I think we're cooking with hot grease, Chase. I think we're cooking with hot grease. I want to get y'all's thoughts on this list as well. I know we got, looks like Digger's on the phone line. Uh-oh. I might have to talk about some softball with him. Chase, I might have to let you, I got your back though, Chase. We're ready for it. I got your back. Want to get y'all's list. I'm going to check the chat out and see what you guys say. Again, keep 4, cut 8, Jadeveon Clowney, Chase Young, Miles Garrett, Jalen Carter, Quinnen Williams, Nick Fairley, Ndamukong Suh, Jonathan Allen, Gerald McCoy, Aiden Hutchinson, Will Anderson, and Khalil Mack. We'll see what you guys come up with when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.
Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, Tuscaloosa's destination for iconic Jeeps. Owner loyalty earns $1,500 cash back on a new 2026 Jeep Grand Cherokee.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more miles away, explore what's possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya. Visit Tremfya.com or call 1-800-526-7736.
Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Monday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. We're playing this Keep 4, Cut 8 game, but we got a call from Mr. Digger. Now, I know, Chase, did you have a friendly wager with Digger? Did I hear that right, or was that Reed?
Unfortunately, I did.
Okay, well, then we owe it to him to give him the time, and he just called. I know he normally has to wait. So, Digger, come up right on in. Talk to us, man. Congratulations. Let me tell you, congratulations on Texas and y'all softball team defeating our team in the championship game this weekend. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm just so happy to be at the drive-thru window picking up my trophy. One of many. Thank you very much. Of the SEC trophy, I'll take it. We'll be looking for that trophy at the end of the month in rowing, too. So don't forget about golf and tennis. But real quick, holy cow, Chase. He left out Ndamukong Suh. What is he thinking? Oh, my goodness. This man was so dynamite. He was up for the Heisman. He finished fourth, and I'm telling you, he was the best player in college football, period. How did you leave him out?
I think Chase That's was trying to mix I'm it up saying. For the sake of the game. I think Chase wanted to mix it up for the sake of the game. And to be fair, DJ, look, Gerald McCoy is a dude. He's a dude. But I will admit, when you talk about Sue in college, he did win literally every award possible, and also
in the Big 12 championship game, they double teamed him and had a running back in the backfield to stand in his way. And he damn near sacked Colt McCoy for a loss and for the title. I'm telling you, it was that close. I mean, he's ridiculous. He was dominant. And I don't understand you guys about Jalen Carter. Where are you guys? Jalen Carter should have been the number one overall pick if he didn't spaz out behind the wheel. Okay. He's a horrible driver.
Oh, my God.
So but come on.
Good. But no, he is. Listen, okay, now, Digger, now this list consisted of, I mean, like 12 guys that were all, every single one were all Americans, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, so you really can't go wrong. But hear me out. I went Jonathan Allen because I already had Big Sue. I did choose Sue for mine. And I went Jonathan Allen because, listen, I play with the guy, and I just being his teammate, man. I mean, the dude could do it all. He could play across the whole defensive line. I mean, he's like top five and I think career sacks at the University of Alabama. And to me, I know Jalen Carter is a disruptive guy, physical, nasty defensive lineman. Like, I'm with you. I already had Sue. So I'm like, give me a guy that can get after the quarterback that's proven and can play all across the defensive line. Mix it up a little bit. Come on, man.
And for the love of God, where is Tommy Harris in this? forget about Gerald McCoy. Tommy Harris was a bigger problem for us than McCoy. Holy cow. I mean, Jesus.
Yeah, what about Will? Hold on. What are you about to say there, Mayor?
The love fest for these Alabama players. Come on. When he was playing, there were games where he disappeared completely. Okay? I get it. Y'all had him all amped up about the famous spring game. He was wrecking the spring game, and Saban took him off the field because he was wrecking the whole spring game. And we never heard from it again. It's like, what? Come on. Mr. Anxiety. He's the one that brought up that whole anxiety thing against Texas. So, come on. I'm just saying, y'all got to stop this love fest for the Alabama players and look at it player for player. And Jonathan Sue, end of story.
I had him. So you gotta throw that in there. Don't make it seem like I didn't go all Alabama. I just told you my reasons why. Now, listen, I'll tell you why. I told you, Will Anderson, to me, again, I get what you, every player has games where they don't show up. But Will Anderson had a 17.5 sack season as a sophomore. I don't think any of these other guys, Miles Garrett, I think the most he had was 12.5. And he was a good player. I played against him in college. I know he's a freak athlete, but it's about what they did in college, though.
I get that, but Miles was a one-man show. He didn't have help.
They had another end that was a decent player as well. I think he ended up being like a mid-round pick, if I remember. But you're right. He was facing double teams all over the place. I'll give you that. And listen, no list is wrong. I don't think it's Bama favoritism. I just think Will Anderson. Look at how Will Anderson plays a game of football, man. He doesn't use a whole bunch of moves. He runs through people's faces. He's physical. He's tough. Like, to me, I like that type of player. And he was very productive playing like that, 17.5 sacks. And we played him out of position, Digger. We had this guy playing in the 4-eye at 245 pounds. He shouldn't even have been playing there. He just helped us out.
I will throw you a bone. I will take Anderson over Quinlan. Please. I'm watching him with my Cowboys. He's not helping me, man.
Oh, okay.
I get it. He's not helping me with my Cowboys here.
They just traded him. Yeah. Give him some time. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, congratulations on your second place finish in softball, okay? And look. Nobody had them going second at the beginning of the season, so they've had a successful season. Okay. Sure. You did take the series at home. A little home cooking for you guys. Okay. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go ahead and take that trophy. Okay. This is our first one. We'll go ahead and take that one. And we'll let you see what you can do in Oklahoma City, because that's where it really counts. So,
true.
And I don't know why y'all are the number one seed. Oh, my God.
We deserve that. What are you talking about?
Listen, they made their choice, Digger, so we're the number one seed, man. It is what it is. But like I said, congrats on y'all's win. Y'all are SEC champions. Y'all got it. But, hey, best believe, hopefully, sometime down the line or something comes up, we get our rematch or something, man.
Let me reach for the trophy here. I got to get it fit through the window. Yeah, here.
First of all, let's be clear that you don't even get a trophy. You might be signed up for their NIL collector thing. They might send you a little pin to put on or a little magnet to put on your refrigerator. You ain't getting no hardware. You ain't swing not one bat. You ain't catch not one ball. So. Take a little magnet and go put it on the fridge. SEC softball champion. That's about as good as you're going to get, Digger. We appreciate you, my guy.
But I love my Katie Stewart. Oh, my goodness. She's a cutie pie. I'll let you go on that.
Okay. Thank you. We will gladly go on that. No, we're talking about sports, not looks. Settle down. All right. We got to hit a time now. We come back. We wrap things up right here on this Monday edition of the Miller's Edge Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
Meet the Alabama Crimson Tide with the Gary Harris Show.
Hey, everybody, it's Gary Harris. Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. Make sure and tune in as we get you ready for the Alabama NCAA Regional here in Tuscaloosa. Also, the Rocket Man, New York Army from 977 ESPN Radio in Huntsville will join us. Plus, your phone call. That's Tuesday morning at 9 a.m.
Catch the Gary Tractors with 0% financing available or save up to $5,500. Sale ends soon. Go to KubotaOrangeDays.com or stop by your local dealer for more information.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors.
On sale now at PearlRiverResort.com.
You're a better man.
Clint Black Live.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I wanted to tell you about our friends over at Lamparello Law Education and Advocacy, founded by attorney and professor Adam Lamparello, helping students at every level with mentoring, exam prep, applications, and career planning. Adam also represents students, faculty, and athletes in academic misconduct, First Amendment, NIL, and criminal defense cases, known for real care and relentless.
Miles away. Explore what's possible. Ask your doctor about Tremfya. Visit Tremfya.com or call 1-800-526-7736.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise With Us on our website.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let's it fly!
On Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Give you guys a reminder about our friends over at Lamparello Law. Again, lamparello-law.com, brand new website, all that information for you guys right there. Check it out, 201-273-9337. It's a phone number if you guys want to contact Adam again for all your legal representation, criminal defense matters, academic misconduct, NIL matters, and more. And on top of that, those services that they provide all at affordable rates, they will beat out competitors. I can guarantee you that. They got academic and career planning for high school, college, and graduate students, exam and test taking preparation, subject matter mastery, the list goes on. So go schedule yourself a consultation now at lamparello-law.com. Give them a call, 201-273-9337. That's Lamparello Law, again, the official representation for us here on the Miller's Edge. That'll do it for us on this Monday edition, and we'll be back tomorrow for a Talking Tuesday right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. As always, we appreciate you guys, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.